The State of Arizona Acupuncture Board meeting for May 31st, 2019 will now come to order. Director Jermenski, will you please note the roll? Yes.
Board Member Zimmerman, absent. Board Member Lahavi.
Here.
Board Member Williams.
Present.
Board Member Hayden.
Here.
Secretary Fontes.
Here.
And Chairperson Fitzgerald.
Here. Right. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Acupuncture Board of Examiners meeting. If anyone wants to address an issue that is on the agenda, or if you want to speak regarding an issue not on the agenda, speaker request forms are available at the back. If you could fill those out and then submit it to the director, Director Jermenski here, and then we'll see those at the end of the meeting. The first item on agenda today is declarations of conflict of interest. Any conflicts of interest today? Okay. No conflicts of interest. We will move on. The next item on the agenda is the review, discussion, or approval of the April 24th, 2019 regular session minutes. Is there any discussion? Everybody look over those? Everything look good? Okay. Is there a motion by a board member?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the April 18 minutes.
Can I get a second?
I'll second.
All right. Motion by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Hayden to approve the April 24th, 2019 minutes as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? All right. Fantastic. Passes unanimously. Director will call the vote. All right. Ooh, the next item on the agenda today is a presentation by Acupuncturists United, or Acupuncturists United of Arizona, I should say. Bill Smith,
hi.
Welcome.
Thank
Come
you.
On up.
Do I just...
Yes, please.
You want to turn that on?
Yeah, there's a little button on there. It'll blink green.
Yeah, that right there.
Perfect.
Perfect.
That's
perfect.
It.
Hi, thanks for your time. Thanks for having me in today. I am the current president of a state association, State Acupuncture Association, called Acupuncturists United of Arizona. And I'm basically here just to introduce ourselves to the board. We've been in existence for a little over a year. We just had our first event a couple weeks ago, a social event. It wasn't a policy or event or anything like that. We had a social event and had some people out. Actually, it was a nice little event at my family's ranch up in North Scottsdale. But I did just want to come and introduce myself. The other members of my board were not able to come for practice and everything today. So I was licensed in December of 2015 by this board. I went to school and earned a Master's of Science in Oriental Medicine at Southwest Acupuncture College in Albuquerque and Santa Fe. Graduated from Santa Fe because Albuquerque campus closed for my last semester. So I moved home to Arizona immediately after graduation in December of 2015 and was licensed in January of 2016. And all my ducks in a row, so I could get licensed quickly. So I've been practicing ever since. The way that our organization is set up, we have four executive members, a president, a vice president, a treasurer, and a secretary, and then three regional representatives, north, central, southern Arizona. And that was sort of set up that way for simplicity. It was set up that way to be sort of less complicated. So that's kind of how our structure goes. All four of our executive board have practices in one form or another here in the state, of course. And they're all varied. For example, the vice president has a community style acupuncture in North Phoenix. Operation that she runs. The treasurer is in Flagstaff and runs a sort of a traditional one patient at a time, 1 hour type treatment facility. The secretary in Tucson operates sort of a menu operated business where patients come in and sort of choose what they want. They'll come in for cupping, they'll come in for gua sha, they'll come in for any different sort of thing that they want to pick. She has needle therapy sort of menus that her customers and patients can choose from. So all of that description is to sort of kind of tie into the main purpose of our organization. We support everyone's ability to practice in different ways. There are opinions out there, you know, that traditional Chinese medicine should sort of be practiced in a certain way with, a single patient individually, that kind of thing, as opposed to other things like community style. So our organization supports everybody. Chinese medicine, like any other form of medicine, evolves and changes over time. We want it spread to as many people and to benefit as many people as possible. So we support all different kinds of practices. That kind of brings us to the main purpose of our organization. And if I'd actually introduce this letter that David put in for us, and this it's a membership letter for 2019. But it describes kind of what we're about. And I don't know if you've had a chance to read it, but in a nutshell, the purpose of our organization, or the mission of our organization, is a single goal. Right now, that goal is to get the description of practice in Arizona law updated for acupuncture and Chinese medicine. Right now, which I'm sure you're all aware of, the description or what's the description of practice is very thin. In the state of Arizona, it's literally two sentences. By comparison, other states have much more comprehensive scopes or descriptions of practice that sort of codify everything they do. So any of you that did go to Chinese medicine school or that are practitioners know, you know, what's involved in Chinese medicine. And the current description that we have in Arizona is so thin that many of the things that we do and we're trained to do are not covered at all. This is important because there's other practitioners, other different types of medical practitioners out there, like physical therapists and chiropractors, that are doing what we do. They're putting needles in people. And often they go to a weekend course. You know, we all went to school for 3,000 plus 4,000 hours, saw something like 300 or 400 patients under supervision before we got into school, before we got to get a license and start actually putting needles in people. So it's very important that this get updated, at least to the standards of some other states like New Mexico. So as you guys all know, that's achieved through the sunrise-sunset process. Not a change to the board, the existence of the board through the sunrise-sunset, but a description of practice is put through and goes through committees, goes through the legislative session, which of course just ended. And that's our goal, is to get it changed. We have set the organization up, like I said, we started about a year ago, and we've been sort of putting it together and trying to gain membership and assistance to get this achieved. So what we want to do before the next legislative session, is to get a description of practice written, use the formats required to submit it through all the proper committees, has to go to the speaker, has to go to the president of the Senate, and then start the committee process. And as we all know, this is very long. It can be very take a long time, a year sometimes, but that's the goal of our organization. So we intend our organization to sort of be something that'll be around and be an advocacy organization to work with state legislators, this board, anybody that we have to or need to, in order to further our interests as, you know, going forward, even beyond this goal, whatever may come up next, that's ultimately what it's about. And if we can get that scope of practice updated to something that's more comprehensive to what we learned in school, and at least includes some of the things that other practitioners have, like a chiropractor that can legally needle people, or a physical therapist that can do dry needling. It's, you know, it's codified for them that they can do it, and it's not even listed in our description of practice. So it's a protection that's important, and it's not just important for me as a licensed acupuncturist, it's important for the public, because anybody that does this should have at least the training that I have in order to do, you know, to perform these types of things, or it should be extensive. So that's kind of the purpose of our organization. We have approached it, like I said, kind of a slow burn, a little bit at a time. We're doing things like having small groups get together and talk about their concerns and their practices, what they see as the they want to have in this, in an updated scope of practice. We've released some surveys to try to gather that together. We're recruiting some practitioners that also have law license, have a law license. I guess it's not some, it's just one, that have a law license to kind of help us write it. It has to, of course, the submission has to be written legally. It has to reference under Arizona revised statutes and, you know, be done the right way. So that's what we're about. We hope to get it in to the start of the next legislative session. I don't know if we will, but it's a long-term thing, and we want to have our organization be around for such engagements, such interactions and relationships from here on. You know, things are changing in the United States. There's talk of, you know, the VA is starting to sort of farm out other practitioners so veterans can get treatments without having waits and, you know, delays at the VA. There's talk of bills being written or considered where Medicare may look at paying for acupuncture and some Chinese medicine treatments as related to the opioid problems that we're having. There's lots of things going on, and we want to have an organization where licensed acupuncturists in the state can be involved and help at whatever level they can to help us move these things forward, voice their concerns, and be part of engagement that's necessary. As acupuncturists, I think there's about 650 of us licensed in the state now. Acupuncturists often are very apolitical. They're just not involved. You know, we want to just go practice. That's what we want to do. It's what we train for. It's what we want to go do, and myself included. But we have to be involved. We have to be involved in law, and that's what we want to do. That's basically all I have. Really, it's just an introduction to who we are and what we're about. So I don't know if you guys have questions. Do we interact, or do I just state my thing?
So, first of all, I'd like to say that I'm very excited to have associations representing acupuncturists in Arizona. As the board, we represent the community and the safety of the community. We are a proactive body, but an association can push forward the industry, and it's important to have. I've often said that the association is the yang to the yin of the board, right? But we have to have that interplay and that balance.
Sure.
You got a long road ahead of you if you want to change the scope of practice. I will say that you have to pay very close attention to how you word it, in that sometimes the more detailed you get, the more limited the scope of practice becomes. Sometimes when the scope of practice is broad, it allows for more interpretation, and, you know, when you've labeled, you can do A, B, or C. Well, then you can really only do A, B, or C, and it might take out of the picture C, D, and E. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay.
And I would expect pushback too from, as it goes, I mean, committee process. Of course, there's going to be questions and things, but to be available and be prepared to handle that committee process as it goes through. And I would expect pushback from other practices too, mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. necessarily Chinese medicine practices, but other practices that there's a lot of other practitioners that are claiming what we do. You can go to the chiropractor and get cupped. You can go to the physical therapist and get dry needled, mm-hmm. and they have it, and they want see the value. These other types of medical practitioners see the value of what we do. It's becoming recognized not only by the public more, but by the practitioners, and they're very happy to do it. And they have a lot of other medical associations, MDs, chiropractors, physical therapists, have associations that have some power. They have clout. They have money. We don't. We have none of those things. We have no power, no clout, and no money. So it would be very, what we're concerned about is having those other practitioners have these things get added to their scopes, and then be able to have the clout to prevent us from doing the same thing, mm-hmm. because we have no protection right now. So,
any other, Mario, do you have something you'd like to
How many members do you currently have?
About 50.
50. Is this the association with Lloyd and YM?
No.
Are you working with that organization?
No, they opened up shop with this, their new organization about 5 months ago, 4 or 5 months ago. We don't really have much to do with them as yet. We're... we'll be willing to support things that they do, things that they want to go for, or things that they want to put on CU events. We encourage our members to attend that kind of thing. But we don't really have a relationship with them as yet, other than that.
Does your organization have a lobbyist?
We don't. No, we currently don't.
I spent some time on your website. It's lovely.
Did you see it today?
No, I saw it about a week ago.
Oh, I completely redid it yesterday.
Oh, okay. Well, then I bet it's more lovely.
It's even more lovely.
But I did notice some of the things that you were offering your members, and one of them was representation at the board. Are you planning on hiring a lobbyist for that?
No.
Okay. So representation.
Well, to be honest, I'm not familiar with where you saw that.
Okay. Well, maybe I need to go back and check. I thought there was something listed about, you know. Did you see that as well?
On mine, with representation at this board.
Not on the board, but when people come to the board, that you would support them in that process.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
You did see that too, Mindy?
I
thought okay, it's good to know that I'm not completely hallucinating, okay. But maybe we'll check on that and get back to you. Right, I was curious.
Just if you would just give me a second, I'll write it down, I'll follow up on it, I'll be happy to respond to you later.
Fantastic.
I'm not sure, and
Frankie, is there anything that you can add to this?
Okay. The board generally doesn't get involved with associations.
Okay.
Associations are generally more protectionist for the industry. This board is not here for the industry. This board here is for public protection. So it's kind of...
Of course.
It's a balancing act.
Of course.
You know, obviously, if they go forward with some legislation, they can ask for commentary or support or
gotcha.
On the board.
So the board when they move forward and try to do the scope, they can say, is this appropriate? What is your opinion on this?
They could bring it to the board to see
to
if
the
they
board.
Want to discuss it, to see if the board would want to support it or not support it, or
okay.
et cetera. But generally, as the associations do, boards generally don't get involved with the associations. It's a good way to communicate with the industry. So when there is a change in the laws or if there is something from the board that needs to be communicated, I mean, it's great to have the associations to be able to have them contact their people. It's a good working relationship to have, but nothing, yeah.
And that's why we're here, is just exactly that, for to open up communication, to be able to communicate in that way. Ultimately, what this is all about is really protecting the public. I mean, that's your job as the board, as you just stated, and ours as an association is to protect our interests. But we still have to do it together. And advancing the things that I'm talking about and these different protections, ultimately that's what it's about, to defend, is benefiting the public. The more people we can reach, the more that training is required on our side to be able to perform these practices, then eventually you get to the benefit of the public. You have better practitioners that, you know, we want to spread it. We want Chinese medicine to grow. Things are moving fast too, you know, things are moving quick. You're going to probably see integration into, depending what happens at a federal level, you're going to see integration of this into Western medicine. And we need to be prepared for that too. We need to, you know, people that are coming out of school, those of us that have already graduated or are practicing, it represents a lot of opportunities. So a back and forth with state level is, of course, super important.
All right. So I think our conclusion is communication is in our future. Any other board members have anything to say? All right. Well, it'll be exciting to see what you come up with in the future.
Sure.
Thank you for taking your time to come down and present to us.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. And we'll hopefully see you again.
And
we will see you.
And Chairperson Fitzgerald, members, Bill did invite me to their last social engagement, which I attended. It's very lovely, and appreciate the invitation.
Oh, yes. I wish I could have been there.
We'll do it again next year. My family has for lack of a better term, we have a dude ranch up in North Scottsdale. And so we do parties. We do horseback rides and hay rides and cookouts. So we took advantage of that to have as our event. And thankfully, the weather cooperated.
Well, and, family events are always appreciated.
Well, that's something else we wanted to do differently from other associations and associations that I wasn't part of but was aware of in New Mexico when I was in school. Was the events were not nothing wrong with the events, but they were usually Chinese restaurants or CEU events, and that's of course fine. But nobody's family is there.
Right.
Everybody's there to talk about TCM. None of their kids. And we want to do things that are, you know, that are important to the to what we're trying to achieve, of course, but what their families can do.
So thank you for that.
Anyway, thanks very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is the review, discussional, and possible actions regarding applications for licensure. Director Jerminski, can you provide a summary?
Absolutely. And I will provide a general overview of these applicants, except one I'll do separately, if that's okay with you.
Fantastic.
Kirsten Jacob has passed the CNT exam and the four exams required from the NCCOM. She has graduated from an accredited college with more than enough clinical and didactic hours, is licensed in other states, where there is no derogatory information there, appears to be eligible for licensure. Sharon Dow Chacon.
I'm sorry, is the fingerprint still pending on Kristen Jacob?
So we do have a few applicants who the fingerprint results are still pending.
Okay.
And so my recommendation to the board is that we, is that the board approves these applicants for licensure pending the results of the FBI criminal background check if there's nothing that returns.
Fantastic.
Because I don't want them to be held up from working for another month.
Okay.
Because we haven't gotten the background checks back yet. That's the only thing that's waiting still. And there weren't any disclosures in their applications.
Seems appropriate.
So, Sharon Dow Chacon took the Clean Needle Techniques course in November 2016. She's a Diploma of Acupuncture at the NCCOM. Went to an accredited college with more than enough clinical and didactic hours. We have received the FBI background check, and there's nothing in her history that would disqualify her from licensure. She appears to be eligible for licensure. Jose Tomas passed the Clean Needle Techniques course in December 2014. He's a Diploma of Oriental Medicine from the NCCOM and has passed the exams, has more than enough clinical and didactic hours from School of Acupuncture. The background check is pending. Ina Engler has taken a CNT course in March of 2015, is a Diploma of Oriental Medicine as of April 2019, has passed, gone to school with more than clinical and didactic hours from an approved course, and there's nothing derogatory in the background. Brennan Vandevelt took the CNT course in July of 2015. There's a Diploma of Acupuncture as of April of 2019. Went to Pima, has more enough clinical and didactic hours. Did have a small disclosure in his application, which he provided all the appropriate documentation stating that it had been resolved, and it was several years ago.
Is that a typo?
I was like, what charge is that?
That is not a typo.
Okay. So,
no, that is not a typo.
That's a crime.
It's a
that sounds it was too much fun to be a crime.
It was a moving violation.
Oh.
So. This is
Mr. Vandevelde is here.
He is here. Yeah. This is Tamara Aachen, who took and passed the CNT in October 2009, has passed the exams required at the NCCOM, has more than enough clinical and didactic hours from an approved course, is licensed in, or it was licensed in Oregon and previously in Arizona, with no derogatory information. Robin Jackson took a CNT course in February 2016, is a Diploma of Oriental Medicine as of May of 2019, has more than enough clinical and didactic hours to meet the requirement. The background is pending. So there would be one of those individuals who are waiting for the FBI background check. Keith Simmons took and passed the CNT course in 2004, has taken the examinations required, has more than enough clinical and didactic hours for the minimum requirement. Also, the FBI background check is pending for this individual.
Has Mr. Simmons had a license before?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, too.
Let me look.
I believe here as well.
I believe he has.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has had a license with Arizona previously.
Lapsed?
Which lapsed?
In
2012. Yeah. And so all those individuals appear to be eligible for licensure. And then Mr. Hong Kim who passed this Clean Needle Techniques course in January of 2001. He's not passed the NCCOM exams. However, he is licensed in another state of Illinois. We did receive a license verification from Illinois stating that he had no disciplinary history. He went to the Chinese Medicine Training Institute, which is not in the United States of America, in China, looking at his education certification we received. Only has 450 clinical hours that I could tell, which would put him below the minimum requirement for education for his licensure. Being that he has not passed the NCCM exams and does not have enough clinical hours, I don't know that he's eligible for licensure at this point. However, on August 7th, he probably would be eligible with the reciprocity bill that passed, and so we'd contact him at that point to encourage him to reapply.
Okay. So you're going to give him that information on the 7th or after?
I'll give the information to him after this meeting. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Any discussion on that? All right. Is there a motion to approve the applications for licensure?
Please make sure that we
identify Kim separately.
Yes, that we're removing Mr. Kim from
Definitely. Is there a motion to approve the applications for licensure minus Hong Kim and with the pending statuses of the fingerprinting results?
I'll make a motion to accept the applications as presented with the exception of Hong Kim, pending status for licensure.
All right. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Motion by Board Member Williams and seconded by Board Member Fontes to grant licensure minus Hong Kim and with the...
Sorry, just for clarification, it's making sure that their pending statuses are clear.
Correct, if there's no disclosures on their background check from the FBI.
Pending no disclosures from background checks on the FBI for those applicants that still have pending fingerprint results. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? All right. Passes unanimously.
I'd like to congratulate Mr. Vandeveld and Mr. Simmons on having licensure.
Congratulations. All right.
Thank you. Pardon?
We
need to vote on Hong Kim.
Okay, so what we need to do now is vote on Hong Kim. Is there a motion to deny the application for licensure for Hong Kim?
Well, I'll make a motion to deny licensure for Mr. Kim.
I'll second that.
All right. Motion by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Hayden to deny licensure to applicant Hong Kim, who received a letter after the 7th.
And for clarity, the reason that he's been denied licensure is not because of a background issue, but because of an eligibility based off of the
administrative deficiency.
Right, administrative deficiency.
Okay. Fantastic. All right. The next part.
We need to vote on it.
Oh, can I get. Oh, all in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Fantastic. It passes unanimously. All right, we'll move on to the next one that I'm apparently eager to get to. Review. The next item on the agenda is the review, discussion, and licensure for applications for auricular acupuncture for Cynthia Miller Potter.
I believe it's certification.
Certification.
I do that every time.
Yeah. This is Cynthia Miller Potter. She has passed the NADA certification course. She has a registered supervising acupuncturist and chemical dependency program. Her fingerprint results are also pending.
Okay. So, is there any discussion on the certification for auricular therapy? Is there a motion to approve the application for, here's her name, Cynthia Miller Potter, with the pending fingerprints coming back, saying that she does not have anything against her?
I would like to make a motion to approve certification for Cynthia Miller Potter pending the fingerprint application results.
All right. Is there a second?
Second that.
All right, motion by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Williams to grant licensure our certification for auricular acupuncture to Cynthia Miller Potter, pending results from fingerprint results. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Passes unanimously. All right. The next item on the agenda is review, discussion, and possible action by board on ratification of renewal licenses or certificates issued by the executive director to individuals who have met the requirements for renewal.
And these individuals filed applications for renewal, paid their fees, and we didn't have any disclosures on those applications. So they were renewed pursuant to the board's authorization, and I'd ask that you ratify that action.
All right. Is there any discussion? Fantastic. Can I get a motion to ratify these applications for licensure / certification?
I make a motion to ratify these renewals for licensure.
Is there a second? All right. Motion by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Hayden to grant licensure / certification. Or ratification to licensure / certification. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Passes unanimously. All right. So the next item on the agenda is the review, discussion, and possible action regarding allegations of unprofessional conduct. This is involving Stephanie Moon Barreto, and there is information on this in our board meeting materials. Director Jerminski?
Yes, we received this complaint that a person claiming to be the owner of the Love and Light Health Center was stating that they are licensed to provide acupuncture and that they couldn't find that person or any of their employees as a licensed acupuncturist on our website. I did review their website. It doesn't appear that they're stating that any unlicensed individuals are providing acupuncture services. They do have an acupuncturist who is licensed by this board, employed by that company. I spoke with the owner of the business. She states that she does not provide any services at all. She just owns it and operates it and then sends out her acupuncturists and massage therapists to perform the services either off-site or on location. And and also spoke with the complaining party who indicated that I think it was kind of she had a Facebook conversation with the person, and I think there was some cross lines of communication about ownership of the business versus providing the service or something like that. But we weren't able to independently verify any unlicensed activity.
Okay. And then this Robert D. Woods, this is an active license for
yes.
him, her licensed acupuncturist?
Yes.
Okay.
That was just a few months ago.
Yeah.
Okay. And they send some of their acupuncturists off-site then, is what you're saying? And that's what the advertisement was about.
Right. She said that there was a group-style acupuncture where people were lying down in lawn chairs or something like that, receiving acupuncture together. And so the person who was complaining was a nurse, was concerned about clean techniques and that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
This board doesn't regulate facilities. You regulate the practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
And so as long as they're using clean needle techniques, then
they're
fine wherever they are.
All right. It's pretty cut and dry, I believe. Anybody feel otherwise or have any discussion on this topic? Okay. Well, then at this time, is there a motion to dismiss? Is that how I phrase that? Okay. Is there a motion to dismiss this allegation of unprofessional conduct to Stephanie Moon Barreto?
I'd like to make a motion to dismiss the allegation of unprofessional conduct by Stephanie Barreto.
Is there a second?
A second.
All right. Motion by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Lahavi to dismiss this allegation of unprofessional conduct. I got your last name pretty good that time, right? Okay. All right. Excellent. Excellent. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? All right. It passes unanimously. All right, the next item on the agenda is the review, discussion, and possible action on applications for chemical dependency program approval. And we have three this time, so that's fantastic. And I think we have those applications in our board meeting materials.
They are in your materials. The application for Embark Recovery, when we received it, was not complete.
Okay.
And we requested that, and since we received it, the board's changed the application format. And so we sent the application to the applicant and requested that they change it. I think that, but they haven't responded to us in time. I put them on the agenda hoping that they would, but
okay.
We don't have that application, so we'll have to hear it at another meeting.
So really we're looking at
just
approving or denying the decision point or the Stuck Community Acupuncture?
Correct.
All right. And they seem to pass all the criteria. Any discussion over these applications? Take a moment. They look good to me, but as this is a new application, I wouldn't mind if we all just made sure we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's.
Which one was incomplete? Is that one?
It's Embark. Embark.
Yeah. Any concerns or comments from you, Dr. Jerminski, over these other two applications?
I'm not a doctor, unfortunately. However, I don't have any concerns as far as completeness. It appears that they've completed the application and made the attestations required under the substantive policy statement, so they would be eligible for licensure. Or I'm sorry, not for licensure, but for approval as a chemical dependency program.
All right, I've taken a look at these. They look pretty good to me. Any discussion from the board?
No, they look complete.
All right. So then, can I get a motion by a board member to approve these applications for the chemical dependency programs for Decision Point LLC and Stuck Community Acupuncture?
I make a motion to approve the applications for chemical dependency program for Stuck Community Acupuncture and Decision Point LLC.
I second.
Fantastic. Motion by board member Williams and seconded by board member LaHavi to approve the applications for chemical dependency programs of Decision Point LLC and Stuck Community Acupuncture. And all in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Passes unanimously. Didn't mean to cut you off, Dr. Jones.
Not a problem. I apologize. Okay. We'll include them on the website under approved chemical dependency programs.
Fantastic.
So you said the third one is going to be just tabled then?
Correct.
Yeah. Do we need to vote on that or say anything more? Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're good.
All right. Moving along. The next item on our agenda today is the review, discussion, and possible action on applications for continuing education course approval. We have three of them today. The mindfulness-based stress reduction and relaxation, lab interpretation and utilization, and acupuncture healthcare of Arizona. That application was interesting.
Yes, all three of these applicants have provided the application in more or less a format required by the board, along with certificates, backgrounds on the instructors, and a way to evaluate the instructors and so on as required in the rule. They appear to be eligible for approval. The board has to ask themselves the question, is it related to acupuncture? And what's the other requirement from the rule?
We often talk about hours.
Well, how many hours do you approve it for? Or 408.
It's related to the knowledge or technical skills used by acupuncturists. It's related to direct or indirect acupuncture patient care, including management, medical ethics, and Chinese language. And includes a method by which it's evaluated. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And the certificate of attendance. That's those four things.
Okay. So, it looks like the mindfulness-based is looking at 30 CEUs. And is about meditation and hatha yoga and challenges arising from medical and psychological conditions of life stresses. Any discussions on that?
I've taken it.
Have you? Great. What do you think? You're going to have a good opinion then. Well, you'll have an opinion. Was it good?
I enjoyed it.
Okay, fantastic.
And that was applicable.
That's really the important part. Okay. So lab interpretation, that sounds incredibly applicable and maybe something I think every acupuncturist needs to take.
Aiden, did you want to make a comment?
Oops, sorry.
Look like
yeah,
you.
About that. I think 30 hours for a mindful-based stress reduction, relaxation for acupuncture credit is a lot.
How many are required per year?
15 per year.
I think each time it's 2.5 hours.
Oh yeah,
and
look at that.
And maybe there's if there's one of them that has a class that really has to do with the stress, maybe that's the day that we could give them hours for that class.
It looks like maybe they're taking a lot of their hours from the home practice assignment.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
body scan, and that's a little odd. That's really hard to quantify. Home practice manual, 9 dots of exercise. Nine
well,
dots exercise.
Well, there's many different days, and it looks like each day they're doing, at least that's what I got out of it.
So it's an 8-week program.
8 weeks, and each are 2.5 hours. So I'm going to give them 2.5 hours times one.
Class 2 is 2.5 on stress.
Yeah.
Class.
Then there's a 7.5 hour. That's the last class is 7.5 hours, I think.
I think that's class 5.
It's all meditation.
7.5.
Which one is it? Class 5 is 7.5?
Yeah, and then class 8 is 3.5 hours. 6 is 7.5.
Yeah, I see
2.5.
Class
6.
Where
are
you seeing 7.5?
There's an all-day class on the second to last page, 15.
Yeah, 15.
You don't have 15 pages?
Oh, yeah, page 15.
I thought I was on the wrong document.
The only thing I saw in stress so far is class 2, yeah?
Five.
Everything else is like yoga and meditation.
So maybe class 2, we could hit their 2.5 hours for that.
Is it 8 classes total?
Yeah.
8 classes, okay.
3 hour.
Thanks for adding that up.
Are you calculating?
I am calculating. Yeah. 3 plus 5.
So, when you took it was an 8-week course?
Yeah.
Did you feel that it helped?
Absolutely. I don't think I could have just diced out that 2.5 hours. I think it's a cumulative experience in training your brain.
So they knew what they were doing?
Oh, Paul Sugar's been doing this for 35 years.
All right. And then the 7.5 hour days, what were they like?
Very useful. I mean, you start with yoga and you do your mindfulness exercises. It's all building on the principle of being.
Is it more self-training or is it actually?
Because
the question is it for the benefit of the patients that you're going to treat? Because
yes,
under your
because if your acupuncturist is present and focused.
Okay, because as your statute is very specific in that it has to be related to the knowledge or technical skills used to practice acupuncture safely and competently, or is related to acupuncture patient care, including practice management, medical ethics, or Chinese language.
So within
I guess it would
practice
have to
care has to go in those three categories.
Yeah. No. It doesn't. It just says okay. Including. It just okay. has to be direct or indirect patient care. So
and it would be.
Okay.
In my opinion.
As opposed it would be. To just taking yoga on the side. While
no, because the idea behind this is to be present and mindful and working on what's in front of you instead of. You know, as a practitioner, you've got the people in the front desk, you have your employees, you've got all these things. The more focused I am with my patients, the better care I can deliver them. That's what I took away.
It's like landmark education plus
yoga. Not as intense, but it's that idea.
Yeah.
But that landmark's much, much more involved.
I had to go through it again.
It's up to them. There's five board members here today. It's up to you to decide by a simple majority as to whether you'd like to award the full 30 hours or you'd like to break them apart. So,
2.5.
But it sounds like
giving them half.
Now, when you took it, was it here in Arizona? So this is they're renewing it. So it's already been approved by the board in the past.
Yes, we do this every year.
But have they gotten CE for it every year?
I don't know for this board. I know that they do for the other board.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I've seen this one.
What's the
not 30 hours.
The homeopathic board.
Okay.
Let me make sure, because I think I have seen it before.
With us?
I may have.
You may have.
I know I've seen this.
Yes, it is
boards.
Currently
it is?
Approved for 30 hours.
So there is past precedence.
Precedence, yeah.
To approve the course. Williams, Bormoline Williams, do you have any?
I'm mulling it over because I do hear what Mario is saying about how a lot of times these things build upon themselves for you to truly have the growth, the opportunity for when you learn something, and that you're a better person, practitioner based on that. And so the 15 hours is what's required on a yearly basis.
Mm-hmm. So even if you approved it for 15 or 30, it wouldn't really matter because this board doesn't award carryover.
Right.
So if you're going to approve it for 30, I mean, whether you break it down, if you're going to do at least 15, you might as well just do it for the full 30.
Oh, I see.
It's not going to matter for this board is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it meets the requirement.
So does this board have an argument to award this class for a number less than 15 CEUs? I'm not sure that we do, actually, especially with the past presidents.
It seems like a lot of work. A lot of hours.
It's a lot of hours.
Yeah, it's definitely a commitment. It's definitely a commitment.
I wonder if he should disclose that there is no carryover, that the maximum hours that can be applied are 15, and then...
I believe the licensee generally, it's in the statute or the rule that they can only use 15, and they have to obtain them during their licensure period. So they can't use something from like 2 years ago, let's say, because they had extra in their back pocket.
All right.
Do the 15 hours have to have different components to them?
No.
No.
Nope.
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, they can all be the same thing.
All right. I think we've discussed it. Anyone want to add in some more?
Is there a requirement to vary your continuing education?
No. They just have to get their 15. It doesn't matter as long as it's recognized by the board as approved continuing education.
Nationals has different categories that you have to fit in, but we don't as Arizona.
And these programs, like Maria said, this one's recognized by homeopathic board as well. So, I mean, they do 30 because other boards require different numbers of hours. So that's up to their boards, though.
Board Member Hayden, thank you for bringing this up. I think it was a valid discussion that we needed to have.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I think maybe we just need to put it to a vote now. All right. Is there a motion to approve applications for licensure? Oh, you know what? We're still missing one other class we didn't discuss. Let's not jump the bolt.
Jump the gun.
We could do them individually. We'll have to approve them individually, but we can discuss them.
I think you can just take a vote now and move on to the next one because you had so much discussion on this.
Okay, fantastic.
Try to make it for a cleaner record.
Then, motion. Do we have a motion by a board member to approve the application for continuing education for the mindfulness based stress reduction and relaxation application.
I'll move to approve the application for a continuing education course called Mindfulness Based Stress Reduction and Relaxation.
For how many hours?
For 30
hours. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is there a second?
A second.
Okay. Motion by Board Member Lahavi and seconded by Board Member Fontes to approve the application for mindfulness-based stress reduction and relaxation at 30 CEUs. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Nay.
All right, it passes with one opposed.
I like it when we have varied opinions.
It's good. That means we're discussing it.
It's a great discussion, but that's the type of discussion this board should have each time something like this comes up, is how, if it's not directly an acupuncture-specific CE, how does it relate to the profession? It's a good discussion.
I'm so glad you actually did this one.
Yeah. It makes it a lot easier to understand the quality of class.
So, and our rules state that, would you call this a workshop or seminar, the CE?
More like a workshop.
Workshop. Yeah. So our rule says that for workshops, the board shall issue 1 hour for every contact hour of CE. One
Which
hour
they
CE.
Have.
Yeah,
you
so.
To...
I actually saw 29, but I may just be adding it incorrectly.
We'll make sure that calculation is
right.
Before.
And so what I'm saying is the board.
14 that they won't use.
Right. So the board couldn't approve it for more or less than the 30 or the 29, whatever it is.
Okay.
So I'll count it again. But
however, if they only wanted to approve one portion as earlier discussion, they could have done that just for the one class.
True.
Does the homeopathy board require more CE?
That I do not know.
They require 20 CE.
Okay. I was like, I'm not aware of it because that's not my board.
All right, so let's take a look at the lab interpretation course, which again is a very important information for acupuncturists.
A great course.
Did you take this one as well?
No.
It's such a good idea.
Right.
And that one I love.
And it seems pretty cut and dry as to what's included in the course. Let's look at hours, 8 to 5. They don't have a lunch in their schedule outline.
Between 12 and 1, they have a lunch break. If you look at the last
page. Oh, yeah, they just...
Yeah, it just it goes from 8 to 12 and then from 1 to 5.
Yeah, they just didn't write it in there. Yeah. Okay.
So it's an eight hour day.
Mm-hmm. And so what they're asking for... Yep, okay. Wow, that took me a minute to find. All right.
Thomas, she has a great name for what she does. Live them good.
Love it. That's fantastic. Okay. Is there any discussion on this particular application? All right, do we have a motion by a board member to approve the application for continuing education for lab interpretation and utilization?
Make a motion to approve the course lab interpretation and utilization for 8 CEU hours.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
All right. Motion by Board Member Williams and seconded by Board Member Hayden to approve the application for continuing education for lab interpretation and utilization of 8 hours. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? All right. Passes unanimously.
And Chairperson Fitzgerald, I did count through the hours for mindfulness again, or stating how many hours it had for each course, and I came up with 29 again.
So would the board like to amend their motion to approve for 29 hours?
I would like to amend you made the motion.
You would have to amend your motion.
Board Member Lahavi.
Board Member Lahavi, would you like to amend? I think we also.
Wait, we're amending.
For mindfulness-based stress.
It's only 29. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He added everything up.
Yeah. Okay. Do I move to amend?
Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
I move to amend the number of CE
approved for the mindfulness-based stress reduction and relaxation continuing education course from 30 to 29 CEs.
Would you like to second the amended motion?
I will second the amendment. They had far too many.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed?
Nay.
It passes with one vote to nay and four votes to yay. And the director will record that. All right. So on to Acupuncture Healthcare of Arizona.
What the heck are they teaching?
So I spent some time really looking over this one because
that was my question.
And it seems like the point of this is to educate acupuncturists in Arizona as to the current laws, the state of acupuncture healthcare in the United States, in Arizona, where the field is going.
It sounds like a giveaway, so you'll attend my meeting.
But, you know, it is good information.
And it's three hours,
right? So it's not a ton, and I think that 3 hours you could fill with the information, bringing everybody current as to the state of acupuncture. It's being taught by Lloyd Wright, and he seems very...
I know
him. Do you?
Yeah.
Well, he seems like he's very accredited to teach this.
Who's that? Lloyd?
Floyd Wright, yeah.
Lloyd, yeah.
Lloyd. I keep calling him Floyd Wright because of the architect, I think.
Fontes. Montes?
All right. So, and it says the course will focus on detailed discussion of U.S. and Arizona state acupuncture healthcare and the future.
All right.
And we'll discuss Arizona acupuncture laws, rules, and regulations. Any discussion?
I applaud their cleverness and efforts.
Agreed. Okay, then.
And, Madam Chairperson, just to clarify for the record, Board Member Lahavi, when you state that you know him,
he
or you state
no
that...
He has no idea I'm on the board and we haven't discussed this. Is that what you're wondering?
And
just want to make sure that you can state on the record that you can make a fair and impartial decision today and that you...
Yes, I haven't seen him in many years. I used to be his patient and then bumped into him at some friend's house.
But today you believe you can make a fair and impartial decision?
Yes, I believe.
Thank you.
Okay. So there was no discussion there. Is there a motion by a board member to grant approval to the continuing education application for Acupuncture Healthcare of Arizona at 3 CEUs?
I'll make a motion to approve the 3 CEUs for the Acupuncture
Second.
For the lab or the Acupuncture Healthcare of Arizona?
Yes.
I second.
Okay. So motion by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Lahavi to grant approval of the application for continuing education for Acupuncture Healthcare of Arizona at 3 CEUs. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Passes unanimously. All right. On to the next one. The next item on the agenda is the review, discussion, and possible action regarding AccuDetox treatment for trauma.
Chairperson Fitzgerald, this is just a follow-over from last month's meeting. The board wanted to discuss it at this meeting so you had more time to review materials outside of the meeting and do research. And so I don't have any additional material for you, but this is for you to discuss and at this meeting.
Where am I seeing? There it is. Okay. So, now that we've had a little more time to go over this, any discussion from the board?
I'm very much in favor of extending ortho acupuncture to the treatment of trauma. Studies indicate that there is a very strong correlation between trauma and later addiction, and I think if it's possible to help intercept prior to an addiction, that would be a wonderful and useful thing for us as a society, as we have, as we all know, an enormous crisis on our hands.
I use this protocol for trauma.
Me too.
As I do. Yeah, as well. And to be clear, this change actually doesn't change the acupuncture points used. It is still the same number of points in the same location. It just says that you do not only, you can do this to people with trauma, not only people with addiction.
So what the board, if the board would like to make a change like this to recognize treatment for trauma, you would have to change your auricular statute and your rules as well. Currently, your statute says specifically for the treatment of substance abuse, chemical dependency, etc. You would have to also add or trauma into your statute in order to allow for this. So allow the board to have more discussion about this. If you need more information or if you'd like to direct your staff to make plans to draft up a new statute and corresponding rules, that would be your next step. And just as a reminder, I believe at the last meeting, it was Pima had stated that all the auricular education does include treatment for trauma, so we're not talking about something new.
Correct. And it is quite common in many other states and countries in the world, so it wouldn't be like we were doing something that was like crazy.
Exactly. So your next direction would be to instruct your staff.
Can it be included in the substantive policy statement?
Mm-hmm. It cannot because it's mm-hmm. It's a major change. Mm-hmm. Substantive policy statements really only allow for interpretation or, interpretation where there's an ambiguity or a vagueness while you're seeking a legislative change or a rule change. The trauma wouldn't kick in until after the statute made it through. The board, I hate to go down this path. The board always has the option of not prosecuting cases where people are reported for using that treatment for a non-statutory purpose, but I don't recommend doing that because it just opens up a lovely can of worms.
And the board changes.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think it's in the interest of public safety to have clarity mm-hmm. on this issue, written clarity, rather than keep it obtuse like that.
I would definitely seek the statutory change before anything else.
under no circumstances would I recommend you not just like doing one of these.
Yeah.
It's always
an option. It's not recommended.
Under no circumstances should this board do that.
It's just a dangerous precedent, I think. So. The best way to do it would be to do a statutory change.
I think that Judge Pyle's presentation, again, helped to sway my opinion on that as far as incarcerations. Being able to help people deal and process when they're in that kind of environment would certainly be another benefit to society. So I look forward to the change in the law.
So it looks like we're leaning towards directing Director Jermansky to change the statute. Can you repeat how that goes? Begin the process of seeking a legislative change. It looks like we're headed that way. Does anybody want to weigh in before we do so? Okay. So then we take a vote. We take a vote on this. We don't just direct him.
It's up to
That's entirely up to you. I don't need a vote in order to draft.
Yeah, I think you'll need to approve something later on. Yeah.
So the board directs you then, Mr. Jerminski, Director Jerminski, to write a draft.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're already working on a draft of something, so.
Many things.
Excellent.
Yeah.
It's just because you're the man to do so. So.
Okay. Well,
why did you say
that? You are the human to do so.
So
right now your statute specifically says that you must use auricular acupuncture for the treatment of alcoholism, substance abuse, or chemical dependency. It's three things. Those are all lumped together. You would need an additional or trauma.
Right.
So, we just have to reword it a little bit to add trauma also in there.
And we need to be pretty clear about...
That shouldn't be too hard.
Well, we need to be pretty clear about what or trauma means because we're not talking about blunt force head wounds.
No. So, and we may have to do a definition change.
Right. We may have to add definitions for trauma and that sort of thing.
Excellent.
So,
I look forward to seeing how that plays out.
Right.
Yeah. Fantastic.
The attachment that you included here will be useful in that articulation of what trauma is in this instance. That is certainly a good clarification.
Agreed. Okay. We look forward to seeing this on a future agenda. All right. Dun, dun, dun. The next item on the agenda today is review, discussion, and possible action regarding board goals for the FY20.
I don't have any additional items for this. I am working on the newsletter. I've created an email blast that can be sent out to direct people to it. I haven't sent that out yet, obviously, because we haven't created the newsletter yet. I'm about a couple pages into a 5-page newsletter.
Great.
So if you have topics that you want me to include in it, send it to me.
Okay.
So that I can put it on there, and I'll draft up something about that. I'm going to include a meet the board page, and then we'll have 2 or 3 board members on each time with a photo and a short bio, that sort of thing. And so we'll take a group photo next month so that Rosemary can be here also.
So all of us board members will spend a little bit of time thinking what we want included in the quarterly newsletter and send that information to Director Jerminski.
Please do. Please do.
Also in this, Director Jerminski, have you added the board goals to the website? Because those are the ones we wanted updated.
I haven't updated those yet. Okay. I can look at our notes from the last meeting.
Fantastic. Sure, yeah, if you take the changes we made to the goals and the adjustments and put those on the website, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, we'll do.
All right. So another direction for you, Director. All right. I think that's all we need to discuss with that. Any more discussion from the board? All right. The next item of the agenda is review, discussion, and possible action regarding statutory change to ARS 32-3902, composition of board.
Again, this is a holdover from last month. The board discussed the amount of board members that we have is difficult to fill all the seats, and it's rather large compared to other states. The states just polled in the states around us. Most of them have 7, 2 have 5 board members. And the board discussed at the last meeting removing 1 acupuncturist, 1 public member, and 1 other licensed health professional, and then adding a regular acupuncturist. And so this is just here for the board to continue that discussion.
So how many would that end up being?
7.
7.
Which would make it a lot easier for us to get a quorum.
Yeah.
Right.
Which has been a problem.
And then what would the quorum be?
4.
And yeah, and I think the only point of contention was board member Zimmerman had brought up that she would either like to see an even reduction across the board or to keep at least 2 other healthcare licensees on. But I think David had also brought up that that's the hardest position for us to fill.
It is, yeah.
That we've never had 2 on at the same time. But I think that was a fair exchange, removing 1 from each category and adding an irregular.
Right.
Seemed to be very fair.
And again, I mean, this is not something that the board needs to do. It's just something that that was percolating in the back of my mind because of the difficulty in filling the seats.
And our board is relatively large compared to other boards.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. So we're not stepping out of a normal structure for a board of our type.
So your next step here would be to have discussion, and based on discussion, if you come to some kind of an agreement today, would be once again to direct David to go ahead and start the legislative change on that, because that would be a statute change.
Okay. I think it sounds like a great idea.
I almost think it's inevitable if we plan on having a fully stocked board.
Mm-hmm.
We've been very unsuccessful so far.
I agree. I think it's a smart move because it's certainly frustrating when you come down to the last minute, somebody has an emergency, and all of a sudden you can't make quorum and everything goes off rails, as we know. But today, it's difficult to move meetings.
Well, and it's unfair to the public because, you know, if they show up, you have to cancel for no quorum, and for the members who have to drive here from places like Tucson and Flagstaff.
Right.
I'm fine with reducing the number, too.
Yeah. And it seems like we have a pretty good consensus that we've done it in a fair structure.
Is it?
So this would also be a legislative change?
It would be a legislative change. So once again, you can just direct your staff to go ahead and begin the process.
And legislative session is closed right now, so it gives you a little bit of time to work on this, or us a little bit of time to work on this before the next session.
And it needs to be fairly well hammered out by October, November.
All right.
So.
Fantastic. Well...
So that's another thing
you have to exactly. Director Jerminski, please prepare
a... And again, we have, 40 regular acupuncturists. And so I just want to make sure that the board is wanting to include that membership is on the board or not. And so I just want to make sure that discussion is had.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to have them. They need to be able to have have some representation as well.
Agreed.
What's going on.
Certainly think it will help in driving more membership.
I see more applicants now that a lot of these detox centers are becoming approved.
I think so. I mean, including the fact that the board has previously directed me to seek legislation to remove the chemical dependency program requirement.
Exactly.
So that may increase the amount of regular acupuncturists as well.
All right.
Is there anything that we can do to be helpful? Do you want a committees can sometimes be helpful.
Good question.
Or not, I would be happy to do so.
At this early stage, I don't know that anything needs to be done as far as that goes. I'll work with legislative council to come up with language that works, and with Frankie, and if the board wants to make a subcommittee on statutes and rules or something like that, they can in the future. But right now, it's not a lot of work for a committee to do. It's more just kind of writing.
Generally, once there's a first draft, it's usually good to get an ad hoc committee together to review the draft so that the whole board doesn't have to weed through every last thing.
Right.
Fantastic. All right. Well, then we've directed you to put together the statutory change to the composition of the board, and that brings us to our next item. So the next item on the agenda is the review, discussion, and possible action regarding unlicensed practitioners and Executive Order 2019-01. Director Jerminski?
Absolutely. So the governor issued an executive order, which is Executive Order 2019-01. That order reinstated the rule moratorium for making or amending rules without the permission of the governor, but it also required that state agencies evaluate their process for processing complaints of unlicensed activity. I've done that and included that at the very bottom of the investigation policy that the board had previously reviewed. This isn't necessarily something that the board has to review and approve, but I did want to present it to you prior to submitting it today so that you could review it and make sure you were okay with the process that I put together. Basically, what it says is that, and it's on the very last pages 8 and 9 of the policy in your materials, stating that if there's a complaint with a non-immediate threat to the public, the executive director will notify the respondent that the complaint has been filed if by certified mail if necessary to make sure that we can prove that we've contacted them, and bring it to whatever the next board meeting is pursuant to our timeframes. In the rest of the policy, the board will determine whether a violation occurred, considering its statutes, and then vote to either refer it to the appropriate agency and post the person's information on our website in the imposters list, along with notifying them that practicing acupuncture without a license is a violation of state law, or to close the case and take no further action if the board determines there's been no violation. If there's an immediate threat to the public, as determined by the executive director, then the board would have a special meeting before their next regular session meeting, and again, as determined by the executive director, appropriate agencies may be contacted even prior to the meeting if there's something egregious going on. But otherwise, we'd have one prior to the regular meeting. And the same outcomes in that the board would direct it to the appropriate agencies. If they can independently substantiate the allegations, the name will be posted on the board's website and the imposters list, along with general location, and the case is closed.
And just as an FYI, new legislation was passed this term. So
I'll be talking about that.
Starting on August 7th, you'll also have cease and desist authority.
Right. And so that we'll modify that once that statute goes into rule into effect.
That's great. Thank you for putting that together, Director Jerminski.
So if you want to approve that through a motion, you can, and then I'll submit that to the governor's office today.
I would prefer that the board do a motion on these for consistency.
Any discussion on that? Seems pretty clear. All right. Let's make a motion. Is there a motion by a board member to approve
the amendment to the investigations policy?
The amendment to the investigations policy.
Make a motion to approve the amendment to the investigations policy.
All right. Is there a second?
Second that.
All right. Motion by board member Williams and seconded by board member Hayden to grant... Oh, I forgot my head. The amendment to the unlicensed investigation policy. Did I get it good enough there?
I think it's
excellent.
It's gonna work.
Fantastic.
What is the penalty?
All in favor?
Aye.
Oh.
Aye.
Those opposed? Passes unanimously. Board of William Williams.
What is the penalty? It says that it's a violation of state law.
It's a class 5 misdemeanor.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's a crime. So, essentially, if it does get prosecuted through the AG's office or the county attorney's office, criminal penalties would attach. As a class 5 misdemeanor, I mean, it's not super crazy serious, but at least it'll establish a pattern. And if they show up again, you know, it gets progressively upgraded. So,
however, comma. The new bill that's been approved and passed through the legislature would upgrade unlicensed activity from a misdemeanor to a class 5 felony.
Wow.
So, yes.
And when does that take into effect?
August 7.
August 7th?
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. That's got some teeth to it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, then we're on to our next one. The next item on the agenda is the review, discussion, and possible action regarding the executive director's report. Director Jerminski?
Yeah, so I've included some general information just for the budget. I'm projecting to be in the black as far as our cash balance this year. We should be putting more money into our cash balance than we've spent. We should be also in the black as far as our appropriation. I'm planning on, if possible, replacing these computers with something newer, just so that I don't have to worry about them crashing in the middle of meetings, and with something inexpensive but newer.
That budget, do you have your
office? I don't have my office in that
very
budget.
It's strange.
It's just
I'm actually relatively later. Confused
I
by
just,
that.
So,
I don't call a nay on the
I,
until he gets his
yeah.
My focus obviously is less on office furniture and more on functionality of the agency.
You shall
so,
not get your computer
yeah.
until you get the office furniture.
So we'll do what we can. Yeah.
That's non-committal.
Yes.
And we've had a response like that
it's
from
what
you
I call
before. That
it's,
did not go anywhere.
It's just it's so low on my priority list for my furniture.
Can we give this task to the new assistant, Director Jerminski, the board
actually makes your priority list.
Okay. So, yeah. I will look into furniture and see if we can get it prior to June 30.
Great. I'd love to hear about your steps that you've taken at the next board meeting.
Okay.
What's your
absolutely.
Timeline?
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
A good question.
Well, this appropriation only lasts until June 30, so...
Looks like you have a month
right.
30 days.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Last time you had 30 days, nothing happened.
Right, so it's one of those things. So.
That's also non-committal, which you're very good at.
So.
so at the next board meeting, I'd love to hear the steps you're taking. Maybe some
absolutely.
Pictures.
I
pictures of furniture in the board meeting materials that you're
absolutely.
About to acquire.
I will definitely take... I will put pictures of furniture in your materials.
Excellent.
Whether
I'm satisfied. Yeah. I'll let you continue now.
Whether it's my furniture or not is another question. Okay. So there's that. I'll go through some legislation that is that would be interesting to the board pretty quickly here. House Bill 2118... did pass. This is the one on unauthorized practice of health professionals. This bill, which will become law, states that a health professional regulatory board shall regulate the unauthorized practice of the health profession and that the board regulates, which gives us authority over unlicensed practitioners. It allows the executive director, if delegated, to verify the person's licensure or certification documentation with primary source, retain the records of the complaint for at least 10 years, post it on the board's website for 5 years, and issue cease and desist orders to that person engaging in unauthorized practice. Also, we can notify the person making the complaint that during the investigation they can still submit documentation if they didn't submit it in the beginning, and that they can remain anonymous from the person whom they made the complaint about, and that a person engaging in unauthorized practice of a health profession is guilty of a Class 5 felony. And so that increases the...
Because it used to be Class 3 misdemeanors when I spoke earlier, so I went from 3 to 5 felony.
So that's a big jump for most of the boards.
That's a big jump.
Yeah.
Is that jail time?
Potentially.
Yeah, depending.
It's the lowest form of a felony. But
well, it was a class six felony.
Is there a six?
Yeah, which
it's been a long time.
And as part of those discussions, they talked about the difference between a class six and a class five felony, and that a class six felonies are very often remanded back to a misdemeanor after they've been reviewed, after the person completes the court requirements, and so they wanted to make a statement, basically, and keep it as a five, which does not normally get changed to a misdemeanor. And so this allows the board to delegate that authority to their executive director so that the board can take swift action on unlicensed activity. House Bill 2463 did pass. It basically requires another notice on our applications and website stating that the person can petition the agency to repeal or modify regulations. House Bill 2569, currently there's a statute that allows spouses of active duty military to obtain licensure in this state through what I would call endorsement, but what they're calling reciprocity, wherein they get license verification from that state and get background checked through their fingerprints here, and then if there's nothing exciting in their background in either of those, they can get licensed without submitting additional documentation. This extends that to everyone. And so any applicant who applied could obtain a license with this board if they have an active and unrestricted license in another state and they pass their criminal background check through this board.
And was the thought there to attract more medical providers to the state?
I think they're trying to make it easier to move, you know, and to come to the state. Absolutely. So this will reduce the burden on our applicants. They're not going to have to come up with their transcripts and their CNT and their exams and all that anymore
and
if they come
really
from another state.
Does help with the board's original issue a couple years back,
right,
which was that some people who got their education before a certain time period are way below the hours.
600 hours or 400.
Some states are different in their requirements.
Mm-hmm.
This essentially makes everything an even playing ground. So.
However,
this is for all health care?
All health, yeah. An occupational or professional license. So it's not just health,
it's
the funeral board directors, it's, you know, any health or any occupational or professional license. This also states that the person has to establish residence in Arizona. So you can't be living in New York and operating in New York and just file for an application here and get it. You have to be living here. So
that's something the board's going to have to determine later on and figure out if they're just going to do a policy or actually seek a rule change. Those will be up to you at a later date. But there's no definition for residency. There's no definition anywhere for residency. Schools define it one way. The DMV defines it another.
Right.
Everybody's different in the state. So,
interesting.
Yeah, so what a lot of the boards, I believe, are doing is there's going to be a question on the application that says, are you a resident of Arizona?
Right.
Please submit documentation. And then, depending on what comes in, whether it's a, you know, utility bill, a driver's license, and a bank account, or something, whatever shows that they have an intent to remain in Arizona will be their residency. The other thing of that was once they establish their licensure through the residency, then they go right into the regular renewal cycle. There's not a special reciprocity license versus this. So they're only going to have to establish residency for that initial license. After that, they can go wherever they please.
Right.
It'll be very interesting to see. So I think a lot of boards, because it's not a reciprocal license that you're having to renew every year. Once you hit that initial license, the renewal becomes the regular with everybody else, and you can't tell any of your other licensees that they can't move out of state or that they can't hold dual licenses. So I think a lot of the boards are just kind of taking as long as you prove to the board that you are a resident and it's an acceptable form of documentation. That's one way. The other thing that they're looking at is for David. nursing board has a compact, a multi-state right. compact, that defines residency. Some of the health boards are kind of taking a note out of their playbook and adopting that definition of residency because it's worked so well for at least, what, 17 states with the compact. So that might be something for the board to take a look at a later date and maybe think about adopting a policy or a rule based on that.
Yeah, and this isn't
Could
something...
Could you send us that information?
Yeah, I can do that. Okay. This isn't something I think that we need to do a substantive policy statement on necessarily, mm-hmm. but I would just general. I would just amend our... applications policy mm-hmm. and add one more line in there.
Say these are acceptable forms of
right,
of
and that would be it.
And okay. and as they come in, I mean, people are going to probably submit different forms for a while mm-hmm. until we kind of figure out. Right. But in our discussions at my office, the nursing board compact was very helpful because there is a set definition of mm-hmm. what they accept. And it's pretty inclusive. Like there's a lot of ways for people to prove that they're residents of the state.
Electric bill, driver's license, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of the basics.
Yes. Find that for us and send it to us so okay. we can take a look at it.
That's the nursing board compact.
For the future.
Website, and there should be a definition like right on the first page.
Thank you, Director Jansky. Oh, thank you, Frankie.
No worries.
All right. Anything else that we need to in the
ED
report?
A couple more things. We've gone live with a backup website for if and when Salesforce crashes. So a person could pay for their application online still through a separate conveyance.
Excellent.
And submit their application through DocuSign. So I did that just
Thank
to
you.
Alleviate issues. I am working on the newsletter. It should be 3 to 5 pages. And so, again, if you have anything you want included, please send those topics to me, and I'll include them in the newsletter. Otherwise, I'll just do whatever I want.
we'll be sending you this.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you doing so. I did. I'm sorry. So the effective date is August 27th, not August 7th.
Okay.
So for all those bills. I did attend the Acupuncture United of Arizona Society event, which was very nice. They did talk about their desire to amend the basically scope definition for acupuncture. So they'll be working on that. Again, the board will take usually a neutral stance on bills unless they feel like there's something pretty much either way that they need to make a comment on. And I'll be available and at those committee hearings when they happen. So, unfortunately, our licensing coordinator has resigned from her position, and so we'll be right. I did, and so we'll be. We've already posted the position, and we'll be reviewing applications for that over the next few days, and hopefully we'll get someone hired in fairly quickly. It's probably
the
furniture
that was
the issue. Yeah.
So you stated why she moved back?
She had personal. Yeah. So,
I liked it.
All right. We'll get someone new and excellent in.
All right. Also, just informationally, just this morning, I was interviewed by a reporter from the Cronkite News who was interviewing about auricular acupuncture and the opioid crisis.
Wow.
And so they wanted to know about what the board was doing to reduce administrative burdens and help meet the opioid crisis
so
with
much.
Auricular acupuncture. And so we had a very good conversation for about an hour about what the board's doing. Tim? I don't think it was a Tim.
Is he sending you that article?
Yeah, I asked him to do so, yeah.
Will you send it to us?
Yeah, absolutely.
I did one this week with Cronkite News on the same topic.
It was Timothy, yeah.
Maybe that link to that article can go in the newsletter.
There you go.
Right.
Nice.
Right.
You better read it first because I'm in that article. I was pretty.
And just for the board members, if you do interviews, just have to make sure that you are stating that this is an individual opinion and you are not
right.
representative of the board.
Right.
Even if they bring up that you sit on the board.
That being said, if we were going to join an organization or an association, I mean, is there any rules for that?
No, you're allowed to join any associations. Just it has to be very clear that you are there in your individual capacity.
Right.
That you are not there representing the board, that anything you say is not representative of the board's opinion on the matter, and you would have to recuse yourself from any matters that you feel would be impacted by your membership on the on that association.
Yeah.
It wouldn't prevent you from sitting on the board.
Yeah. And similarly, when I was speaking to that reporter, I said, you know, I'm speaking, you know, as the executive director of the agency, but I'm not necessarily the opinion of the board, and also that I'm not a clinician, and so I wouldn't be answering any, obviously, clinical questions about...
not a doctor.
Yeah, I'm not a doctor, right, exactly, about regular acupuncture, but...
practicing acupuncture.
Right, exactly, exactly. I'm not going to hold myself out to be an acupuncturist, so, yeah.
All right.
Otherwise... not that one. I don't have a lot of other highlights or on the board complaints. You saw the complaint that we had today, and so that's been resolved.
Okay.
And we gave it a legislative update, and so I think that's it.
All right. So we look forward to hearing more about our new assistant, your furniture. And we'll send the article our way that we can also keep apprised as to what the director has told the newspaper, which I'm sure was excellent. All right, so we're done with that. And the next item on the agenda is the review, discussion, and possible action regarding future regular meeting dates and times. Director Jerminski?
No changes from the last time we met. August and December are canceled. We're having September in Flagstaff and October in Tucson. Our next meeting is June the 26th.
Okay. Any discussion on that?
July.
June.
Did you say our next meeting is
June
26th? You're right. My brain thought we were in June right now.
Close. Close.
Very close.
All right. When we're settled on that, then the next item on the agenda is the call to the public. Any forms sent your way, Director Jerminski? All right. So the next item on the agenda is discussion of items to be placed on a future meeting agenda. No?
I think David's got a good running list.
Yeah, I think we have a full agenda in the future. We've really gotten some good things going right now. All right. So then the next one is adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn our meeting today?
I move that we adjourn.
Is there a second?
A second.
All right. Motion by Board Member Hayden, seconded by Board Member Williams. All approve? I mean, all in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? We're adjourned.